normally spell it, but I kind of want to give you a better way to spell it. Add an O. Add an O. Because when you're a child, simple things make your mouth drop. Make your jaw drop. Your things are, and I love Christmas morning when you open presents and I'm trying to take pictures, because you're waiting for that moment when they realize what they got. They open it up and there's that, that's the oh moment, okay? And Christmas, and really the life of the Christian ought to be full of oh moments. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Look at verse 1 of Psalm 117. Psalm 117, verse 1 says, oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise Him, all. Wrap the gift to play with the gift. But there's something more important about looking at that person who took the time and effort, stress, and got you that gift. And you ought to look at them and say, thank you. And if they're your wife, you ought to kiss them. That little letter should make a difference in your life. It ought to say just, wow. I just want to say that God is good. According to the Bible, and I found out that it is true, He's good all the time. Sometimes our times aren't good, but He is still good. Amen? Look at back in Psalm 107, and if you'll look at verse 2, it says this. We'll start in verse 1. O give thanks. There's that O again. O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I like that. If you're redeemed this morning, if you're born again, if you've been paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ, you ought to say the Lord is good. You may not have anything else to show for your life. You may not have much by way of Christmas presents. Remember years gone by, the piles and piles of Christmas presents? Maybe this year is a little pared down, rightly. It's good for us, amen? But even if you had nothing, even if your Christmas tree was dead, the Lord is good. If you're redeemed, you ought to say so. And this morning, I'd like to hear some amens as we go through and look at a few things that remind us of His goodness. Verse 1, He says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His... What's the next word? What a wonderful concept. This is God's most important gift to us, is His mercy. If it wasn't for His mercy, you would never know His Son. If it wasn't for His mercy toward us, you know what mercy is? Mercy's not giving you what you deserve. You see, if you say, well, you know, I deserve better. I should have gotten a better looking tie. I should have gotten better shoes. I should have gotten a better gift. You don't realize what mercy is. Mercy is the fact that you got a gift to begin with. It is of the Lord's mercies, Jeremiah says, that we're not consumed. Great is His faithfulness. Mercies are God being kind to you when you don't deserve it. A lot of you got gifts that you didn't deserve this morning. Amen. You got gifts that you may think you deserve it, but everybody knows you better than you even admit. Go, you didn't deserve nothing. It's of God's mercies that He gives gifts. Look at verse 11. We're rebels at heart because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. He goes on and He describes how God was still good to them. Amen? And you know, when we think about our stiff neck, our hard hearts, our rebellion against what God plainly says, we have all the reasons in the world why we don't do what we should do. Amen? That's called rebellion. And yet God is still good to us. It's of the Lord's mercies. We couldn't get anything from God if it weren't for His mercies. He just gives because He's merciful. And look at what it says at the end of verse 1. It says, for His mercy endureth forever. Throwaway gifts are worthless. I mean, you know, we always like the real fancy looking gifts, you know, that are play gifts and stuff. And in 10 minutes, they're broken. God's mercy lasts forever. Amen. I like gifts that last. Oh, that we would realize just how merciful God is and how good His mercies are. You see, I didn't get much. The fact you didn't get much may be a gift. Because He could have given you more than you didn't want. Amen. Oh, that we thanked Him for His mercies. Have you sat down at Christmas and looked at all the blessings you have? You ought to realize what you don't have and be thankful for it. You ought to be thankful for the fact that you're not in hell. You ought to be thankful that you're not in prison this morning. You ought to be thankful that God has taken your sins and put them behind His back as far as the east is from the west and not judged you according to your sins like He should. Amen. You ought to be grateful for a wife who overlooks a lot in your life. You ought to be grateful for kids who still love you, even though you fail them over and over. You ought to be grateful for some parents who stay with you and stick with you. You ought to be grateful for mercy. Amen. Mercy. Not only are His mercies good, His gifts are good. His gifts are good. You know, everything good in your life came from God. You say, well, I found my wife, you dummy. He made her. He prepared her. He opened your eyes so you'd notice her. Amen. Look at James chapter 1. Hold your place here. Go to James. You can close it. We'll come back to it in a few minutes. Well, no, just hold it there. We'll come. James 1 and verse 17. James 1 and verse 17. James 1 and verse 17. Look in verse 16. Verse 16 sort of sets the stage for verse 17. It says, do not err. Don't make this mistake in your thinking, my beloved brethren. Because verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is only from above. And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He never changes. Every good gift in your life came from God, and He gives because He doesn't change. God's gifts are good. Greatest gift that you've ever been given, besides mercy, is found in Romans 6. Go to the left, find the book of Romans, still in your New Testament, chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserved. That's what we earned. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How perfect is that gift? I couldn't earn it. I can't keep it. It's perfect. God's gift to us is good. You ever look around and just realize the gifts that you already have before you ever had a Christmas? That wife or that husband of yours is a gift from God. You say, you don't know my wife. I don't want to know your wife. I don't want to know all of her faults. You married her. You married that rascal that is your husband. And if you take a good look at him, you'd realize he's better to you than you deserve. Amen? You see, when we read that Bible, we realize we're nothing but dirt. And God took this dirt and made our lives and gave us what we've got. And all of the flaws God gives us, man, so many blessings that overwhelm everything else. The blessings of our families. You need to just realize before there ever is a Christmas in your house, there's a husband. There's a wife, and you ought to be grateful for them. You ought to be grateful for your children. I'm watching my kids move out. Yes. I'm watching them grow up. I remember, Nita and I were talking last night. I mean, Joshua, I'm going to brag on him, going to embarrass him. Joshua's real calm. He's like this the whole time, you know. And I says, you weren't always this way, Joshua. Because when he was about 4 or 5 years old, he couldn't stop jumping. Can we open the presents? Seriously. I have good memories. You'd give Ruth a simple little doll, and for days, that doll would talk to the cup, would go around, would go and open this big door. Oh, it's a big door. Yes. Oh, push it. Oh, yes. Wait. Now we're going down. Oh, she's getting married. Oh, now she's in a spaceship. Oh, she's flying around. Days. Your kids are a blessing. Your kids are treasures. They're awesome. Watching them grow up, watching Sarah grow up. I mean, honestly. Take a look at your kids and realize they are gifts from God. Your parents are a gift. I know you don't think so. But your parents are God's gift to you. Your grandparents. Make sure you take some time with your grandparents. Just hug on them. Just tell them you love them. Because Christmas to them means more than you can imagine. Because you're their life wrapped up. These are priceless gifts. Now, they're not perfect. The gifts of our home and our family, they're not perfect, but they are priceless. How about your health? I mean, you think about how many times you should be ended up in a hospital, how many times you should probably be dead. God's given you your health back. I mean, you've gone to the brink of death and then come back and you say, man, God has been very good to me. How about our church? That's a gift from God. God did something when he started this church over in Blarney 17 years ago. How about our salvation? Just being saved. It's the greatest gift of all. Look at Psalm 107 and verse 9. You know what I know? You know how I know that a gift came from God and not from duns? You know the difference? I'll show you. Look, Psalm 107 and verse 9. For he satisfieth. Ooh, you ought to underline that word. He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. God takes those who have nothing. God takes those who are at the end of their life and satisfies them. That's how you know you got a gift from God. God's gifts satisfy. Oh, that we would treasure God's gifts at Christmas. That we would be thankful for. That we would be a thankful people for all that God does in our lives. Do you know we give the devil too much credit? How much have you talked about what the devil's done in your life or in your world over this last week? Think about it. Oh, you know, I lost my job. Oh, I lost the tire going flat. You know, hey, listen, you're talking about all the problems, and you just give the devil all of the time you want. I'd rather praise God. I'd rather give him some glory, some honor for all the good gifts in my life. Oh, that men would praise the Lord because his gifts are good. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2 now. 1 Peter chapter 2. Something else is good. I've proved it to be true. Every gift, every good gift in my life, and really everything in my life I've come to find is good whether I like it or not. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7 says this, unto you therefore, 1 Peter 2, 7, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. How many of you believe this morning? How many are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and you're not ashamed to say it? Amen. Unto you which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. You know, Peter calls him precious. Isaiah calls him wonderful. Paul said that at the very mention of the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Amen. Jesus, God's son is good. Amen. I mean, that name, when I got born again, that name took a different meaning to me. People aren't allowed to be around me and curse that name. Aren't able to use that name in a slighting manner, in a bad manner. That's a precious name to me. That's the most special name to me, because he's good. Yes, he's God, but you know what? I found out that he's good. A lot of people worship gods that are terrible. I worship a God who loves me and gave himself for me. Gave himself for me. I love the Son of God. How important at Christmas was Jesus this year? How big was he? Or was he in a corner? In a little crib? I'm just going to call him a creche, but a crib. Do you know, everything he does in this world is good. The Bible says in Acts, he went around doing good. What has he done? Do you know what he does? I've known him to make marriages last. You know what I look forward to? Growing old with my wife. I got her some face cream. I didn't see it said for 60 plus on it. It said re-perfecting cream or something like that. And I thought, oh, cool, she'll love this for 60 plus. Do you know what? Can't wait. Amen. Put on some more, honey. You know what? Jesus Christ, you say, my home's falling apart. Jesus Christ can make it whole together. He holds this universe together. He can hold you together. I'm not talking about just God. I'm not just talking about counseling and wisdom. I'm talking about Jesus Christ in your life can hold your home together. I've known Jesus Christ to bring drunkards home, dry them out, make men out of them. Amen. I've known Jesus Christ to humble the hard-hearted and to fill the hungry and longing soul. He does mine. Jesus didn't come into this world to condemn the world. He came in to save it. Amen. People would just let him save them. Oh, that we would truly love God's Son. I know a lot of people who say they love God and they go out and they carry hatred all week long. I know people in another country who say that they love God and God is great and then they want to kill people. Do you know what? I don't want anybody to die. I found out the love of God changes my heart towards others, makes it so that I want to get along with people. I just want to love God's Son. Oh, that we would love Him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our mind. Don't wait until you're old and in hospital bed before you say, I love Jesus. How about saying it now? Amen. Two things you ought to teach your children. Well, several things you ought to teach your children. But two things about God is, one, fear God and love Him with all your heart. You say it's a contradiction. It's a wonderful contradiction. It balances the Christian life so you don't take advantage of Him. Balance Christian life so that you can get up in the morning and you can realize He loves you. Oh, that we would love God's Son. Psalm 107, verse 19. What else is good in this psalm? Very briefly, verse 17 says this. I'm sorry, verse 19. Psalm 107, verse 19. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. He saveth them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Go to Hebrews chapter 6. What am I getting at? His word is good. Hebrews chapter 6. The Apostle Paul is discussing about how people turn their backs on God. Well, let me tell you about this Bible. Look at Hebrews chapter 6 in verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, that means instructed, taught some things, and have tasted the heavenly gift, that's what salvation is, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good Word of God and the powers of the world to come. Could you agree with me that God's Word is good? I found out that God's Word is true from the beginning. I believe it all the way. I believe it from the very first verse all the way to the last verse. It's true. God's Word is true and it's good. It gives me hope. What things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through the comfort of Scriptures, might have hope. You go through a day, you go through a week, and you're discouraged. Maybe you haven't spent any time in the Word of God. That's a gift from God to you. You thank God for His Word this morning? Maybe you didn't read it yet. The Bible is good. Oh, that we would read and learn God's words and love them. Lastly, His plan is good. Do you know how much? No matter how much the devil works to ruin your life, God has a way of fixing it. Isn't that cool? Did you ever have a dad or maybe a brother or older brother or something who, when you broke something, they could come in there and re-glue it and it was just like new? I mean, that's really cool. Maybe your older brother came in and broke it after you fixed it. I don't know. But understand the concept. We have a God that no matter how messed up, no matter how ruined your life is, God can fix it. He just needs all of it. He doesn't need you to say, fix it, so you take it back and you break it again. He says, give it to me and I'll fix it and I'll make it better than it ever was before. God's plan is good. Did you know it works? God's plan for marriage works, doesn't it, John? I remember him when he was very pitiful, lonely, sad. It was just a year ago. Not married yet, but he sure he's happy. God's plan works. Our plans fall short, and usually leaving us wondering, wow, I wish I could have done it differently. Amen? But God's ways are best. The Bible says His way is perfect. Let Him lead you in this coming year. We're coming up to 2012. I don't know, I'm not a prophet. But I think 2012, you look over the last couple of years and you see a lot of defining moments in the world. I mean, economic collapse, the Arab rising all over the Middle East and things. What's going to happen in 2012? I think it's only going to get better. And I don't mean it's only going to get gooder. I mean it's going to get wilder and better for the Christian. The Bible says when you see these things come to pass, look up. We ought to be more excited about the plan of God. Honestly. We've been too addicted to the banks, to the government, to the handouts, to the entitlements. We need to look up and say, God, we just want to trust You and watch what You do best. His plan is perfect. Throughout this entire psalm there, Psalm 107, David says over and over that when God's people would get in a bind, they would call on the Lord and He would answer. He would act. He would help. He would bless and make things right. Oh, that we would trust His ways. Go back to Psalm 107 and look at this. Final thought. Psalm 107. You say, I don't like the way God's leading me. Well, you're missing something because you're in the middle of something that you don't know where He's taking you. Just believe me, He knows. David says, He knoweth the way that I take. I don't know it. The children of Israel came out of Egypt. They had no idea they'd get to the promised land. Abraham, when he came out of Ur of the Chaldees, God said, I'm taking you to a place that you'll call home. And Abraham says, where is it? He said, I'll tell you when we get there. It was totally by faith. And we've got to get back to where we're willing to do that too. Where we're willing to say, God, however You lead me, I will follow. What do you think those three, four, five, however many wise men there were, what do you think about those guys who when they left Babylon in the east and they saw a star moving way over there towards the west, they says, let's follow it. And wherever that star went, they followed, amen? They didn't know where they were going. They ended up where? In Jerusalem. There they were still lost, weren't they? When they came to Jerusalem, they says, the star's gone. Herod, where is the king? Herod called for the Bible to be opened. And he says, in Bethlehem. And as they came back out, after they searched the scriptures, they came out and there was that star again. And it moved down towards Bethlehem. And they walked and they found the Messiah. You know, what if they had said, oh, I don't follow stars. I'm just going to follow my instinct. You know, when the Lord's leading your life, you ought to follow Him. You ought to trust Him. And verse 22. Is it 22? Well, let me start with verse 22 because I'm going to get to the last verse in a second. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of what? And declare His works with rejoicing. Just by way of finishing, let me say that we need to praise God this Christmas time. No matter how hard it may be, it may be a sacrifice for you to praise God. Maybe it's easy today because you got, you know, a lot of good clothes and things. Got some, this morning, most of the gifts, a lot of the gifts were these gift cards, you know. And so everybody's like, oh, good, yeah, there's another one here. Amen, amen. Maybe you got some great gifts, but what if you don't have many? You know what? I just can't tell you enough. I already got all the gifts I could ever ask for. I got more than I could ever, ever earn. Take a look at verse 43 now. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, pay attention to these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Maybe to you, God hasn't been very good to you. Let me tell you, maybe you're not thinking the right thoughts. If you thought about how merciful God is to you, you'd realize He's being very good to you. If you'd realize all the gifts you already got before Christmas morning, you'd be able to say the Lord is good. You know, just knowing Jesus Christ, before I got saved, I knew a little bit about God. Amen? I remember as a young child going to church, sitting with mom and dad, and you know where I went as soon as he said, "In the beginning," you know where I went? To sleep. I never knew Jesus Christ until the 15th of June, 1980, and I fell in love with that name. Maybe you need to rediscover that the Word of God is good. This church is a Bible-believing church, amen? Let's make sure that we're a Bible-reading church. Let's make sure that we read our Bibles through this year. 4 chapters a day can't kill you. Come on. 4 chapters a day. Take a moment. Maybe take this whole day and just praise God. If you want to be wise, if you are even a little bit wise, and if you just start to observe these, I just listed 5 things. There's probably 20 things you could think about of just how good God is. If you just start observing it, you'll start to understand just how loving kind. Listen to that word. The loving kindness of the Lord. That's the Old Testament word for grace. That's Him just being good to us. Amen. Mercy is Him not doing to us what we deserve. Grace is Him doing what we don't deserve. You want to understand how good and how loving and kind God is? Take some time and be thankful. Most important thing to be right now after Christmas is thankful. Let's stand and let's bow in prayer.